There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line, you can always talk to our friend City Limits, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And right now, let's bring our friend and yours, Stanley Cup champion, Jay Caulfield. He's on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jay brought to you by Tom's Watch Bar. Jay, how are you today? Say hello to Bob Pompiani.
Hi, guys. Bob, how are you?
What's up, Jay?
Nice to talk to you both.
You also.
Good to talk to you. You guys were good after the game the other night. I mean, it was a tough situation, and you said it like it is. It was in large part just a lifeless performance, Jay, which is really hard to figure given the state the Penguins are in. Can you figure it out?
No, Joe. I mean, I'm sure Mike Sullivan's scratching his head too. Usually when there's a kind of a, you know, they had a harder skate, not a real difficult skate, but a harder one than what they had the practice before. And you think you're going to get a response from that across the board, right? Across, 18 skaters. And that didn't play out that way at all through this trip. And then I don't think you've got some guys going, you don't have, I don't want to say lack of effort, but I think there's just decisions making throughout the game that cost you. And that's it. I mean, and it's a tough spot to be in. I mean, I think they're obviously feeling the pressure of knowing where they're at in the standings. Teams around them are all winning. It's a real difficult spot. This trip, as we said last week, we felt it's a make or break. They can rattle off some good wins with the schedule they had. And there was a comment. I thought about it. I said, these are teams they're supposed to be beating. But the truth be told, they're the same number. They're in the same positioning as other teams are with 48 points and bottom of the Eastern Conference and, just above Buffalo. All those things. But I still think when you have Sidney Crosby in your lineup, I will always lean towards that. I mean, yes, but the fact of the matter is they're right now in the bottom quadrant, and they got to battle each and every night when they're playing these teams out west. As we saw, they've lost three in a row against teams that are out of the playoff hunt as well.
Jay, I want to ask you about specifically the last two games, because in Seattle and in this last one in San Jose, we saw really egregious turnovers, and they were made by all sorts of players. In this, I think it was Letang let a puck get away on the far walls. 2-on-1, 3-on-2. Same thing happened with Carlson when he inadvertently or inexplicably threw the puck in the middle of the ice off his backhand, and he falls down, and they go 2-on-1 and score. They're not going to miss those chances. And then in this game, we saw the same thing. Now, I know Mike Sullivan's not preaching that, throw the puck in these areas. Players should know that. They're experienced players. Why does that keep happening? And it leads to odd man breaks, which kill a goaltender.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, as your point right there at the end of it, Bob, I mean, you're leaving your goaltender hanging out to dry. The Carlson one, when a backhand pass in the middle of the ice, the time when they're trying to do something, and it's a mistake. It's a mistake. Absolutely a mistake. You can't do that pressure. Good sticks. They're good players on the other side, too. And they controlled the play the whole time before the Letang giveaway. That's what made that even worse. They had full control, dominating, and then they give up the break. Mm-hmm. The Carlson one, it was a turnover in the beginning of the game as well, almost the same area. But late in the game, when you're making a backhand feed into the middle of the ice, you're just, you know, I've been in teams before where you come to the bench and guys are jumping all over the guy that does that because you're leaving your goaltender just hanging out there. Their numbers look worse. Everything that goes with that, right? So I didn't think, I mean, three of the four goals that Blomqvist gave up, there's nothing he could do. Nothing he could do. One-timers between the hash marks, whatever it might be. And I think that, again, I think that can be guys pressing, trying to do something, trying to make something happen. And the harder you push and the harder you might try, the worse things go. And it's a mix of that. It's a mix of carelessness, probably, right? And a mix of almost like, I don't care. That's what some of them look like. Not all, some. And when you get to that process, when you get to that point, the bench, you can see it. Mike Sullivan's not happy, and there's nothing more he can do. I mean, what as you said, they're grown men playing a game, guys being paid a lot of money to go out and perform. And it's one thing if you're getting opportunities and not scoring. That's one thing. But it's the mistakes that you mentioned, Bob and Joe, and I think that puts this team in a really bad place right now, which nobody, with Sidney Crosby re-signed, all that kind of stuff, you're losing another year with the way this is going.
Jay Caulfield on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. You can join Pony and Muller at the new Buffalo Wild Wings, Mount View Drive, West Mifflin, this Friday. PM team will broadcast live from 2 to 6. Stop by and register for your chance to win free wings for a year. Friday at Buffalo Wild Wings in West Mifflin. Jay, I was thinking about this, talking about this with somebody this morning. I don't know how much information you have, but I know that you do know Mario well. It's been a while now, and it's well known that there was some sort of falling out between him and Fenway Sports Group. Is there any talk of reconciliation? Any chance of him being around the franchise? Because, frankly, and I know this isn't the biggest issue with a reeling hockey team, it's not the same without Mario ever around.
No, it's not. It is. You can feel that in the building. You can feel where, you know, the suite that he had, all the atmosphere. I agree with that, Joe. And I don't think there's much movement. They've got, as far as that, he's going to be in town with the camp that he has, his fantasy camp. He'll be back. He'll be at a few games that way. But the key player, the key point and what he means to the city, when he is not in the building, it truly, you feel it. And then when it's going sideways, it's even more of a glaring moment. When he's in the building, there's a buzz about it. I don't know if they're ever going to be able to rectify that. The business decisions between each other. But Mara doesn't, you know, if he feels strongly about something, he's not going again. He's not going to change what he feels. And if they can come to a decision, it's very interesting now that, you know, a minority piece is up for sale and all that goes with that. And people think Mario might jump back in. I mean, all these things kind of come into play. But Mario is true to his word. And whatever, you know, if you kind of go sideways on him, he has not been here. He has not been. He's been in the building for Yager's thing. He's been in the building for his camp. And that's it. And he said that's what it was going to be like, and it's exactly what he's done. And I don't see it changing much, and unless those two minds can come together, because that's a shame. Because you could have a business, and then you could have Mario there, and he's the face of this city for hockey forever. So it's a shame that can't get rectified.
I totally agree with that, and it's a sad state of affairs that this happened. And Fenway Sports Group, for whatever happened at the beginning, created, I think, the situation. And he's not one, I agree with you, that is going to – change it on his behalf if he feels he's in the right and they're in the wrong. But, you know, the bottom line is it's a better place where Mario Lemieux's there and he is the look. And I would pay him to be that guy if I were Fenway Sports Group. With regard to that sale, that's a you know, you see all this kind of, or whatever it is, trying to add. This is also time of the year where these ownership groups, which are not family owned necessarily, or you know, a group owned, it's one of those publicly traded companies. They need to come up with money, especially now that they're losing. I have to believe that 3 years of not making the playoffs means that they're going to be losing money, and they owe people who buy into their group, don't they? I mean, I'm not good at this math stuff, but I know that that's how it works.
Yeah, I think it used to be a number of years ago, like, you almost have budgeted in that you're into the first round going into the second, you know, budgeted in.
Right.
So when you're not even getting there and you're missing all those extra games and all that goes with that and the crowd's dwindling, yeah, there's a problem going. I mean, it's snowballing in this situation right now. But I do agree, Bob. I do think, as I just said, I think it used to always be, if you're not – they're budgeting, ownership probably budgets that they're anticipating the Pittsburgh Penguins being in the first, not only the first, but getting into the second round. And then that could have changed over all these years, but I don't think much. I mean, it's a big letdown when this does not happen. A huge letdown. It's a huge letdown as far as ownership, the players, everything that goes with it, a real tough spot to be in right now.
Jay, how fine of a line do you think it is walking with Sid's situation these days? I mean, I think common sense tells me that he took his latest hometown discount on the idea that Kyle Dubas will still try to contend, to which I would say he tried and he failed.
Yep.
So now what? And is keeping a guy like Raquel or even Rust around, guys in their 30s who could net you something nice in return, if the prime rationale for that is to keep Sid happy, is that good rationale?
I think because with him saying, first of all, probably his loyal, you know, we talk about the loyalty with Mario. We talk about the loyalty with Sidney that Sidney Crosby brings. There's something special about being a player, like what they are, and being in one franchise your whole career, right? We know Gretzky moved on, all that goes with that. Then, so he stays here, he's loyal, and I assume, but I also would say, I don't think he wants to be a part of something that's floundering, that's not competing each and every night for the ultimate goal, right? So there's that part. I think you do have to keep him happy, but I also think, Joe, even with all that, even the names you mentioned, I think the huge part about what goes on now in teams and can they move players, it's the no-trade clause. The no-trade clause that so many players have. And it makes it very difficult for Kyle Dubas. And I agree, Bob and Joe, he tried to put pieces together that could make something happen and build depth scoring and get wingers for Malkin, have wingers, Rust and Raquel with Crosby, and they've been outstanding. You can't. I think there'd have to be a major discussion with what's going to happen if you move either of those two up top. But I do think the no trade clause, is really impacting movement for a lot of players. I will say one thing. I'm a believer. Like I can't believe how many no trade clauses are out there right now. I mean, in all honesty, how many guys have no trade or even limited no trade? I think that should be for the very, very few.
Totally agree.
Few guys. And I just can't understand why it's been given up and what's happened over these years. And I know that's how it goes. And GMs, like, it's not much they can do when it's pushed on them. But I'm not a fan of that. And I think certainly guys have earned, but they're being paid handsomely for what they've done. Does that mean you can hold a franchise hostage because you have a no-trade clause? So I'm not a fan of that. I do think some guys qualify and should be. And if somebody came to you and said, hey, we want you to maybe back off on your no-trade clause, well, they're telling you, hey, everybody knows too. They're basically telling you, hey, we're trying to move you, right? And then how does that impact the locker room and all that goes with that? I think there's a lot, but I think if you're a player on this team right now, you pretty much should feel like you're vulnerable, right? You should feel vulnerable.
Yes.
Only Sidney Crosby should not feel vulnerable.
Yeah, and one thing
everybody else should be vulnerable.
One thing I wonder about, Jay, and I'm sorry to double dip here, Bob. I do apologize for that.
You don't. Why?
But something's
on my
mind.
You're going to follow up. It's a good thing. When I see you Twitch over there. I know you have a follow-up, so.
Something's on my mind here. I was talking to somebody else this morning, Jay, that we both know. And, you know, these guys get awfully creative, whether it's Hextall, Craig Patrick, Rutherford, Dubas, when they want somebody. When you want Derek Brassard, you nobody thinks you can get him. You move mountains. When you want Erik Karlsson, you make a deal that you'd have to be like a nuclear physicist to understand how it happened. So why can't you get that wild and that creative when you're trying to get rid of guys? I would leave no stone unturned. And one guy I'd be calling is the old riverboat gambler himself, Jim Rutherford, with the struggling Vancouver Canucks. And I would check.
And they have issues on that team right now. JT Miller and
they
Elias
got issues.
Pettersson.
That's what I'm saying. So would he want to reunite with a Letang? Would Letang move his no claw? Would Malkin want to go chase a cup with Rick Tocchet? Maybe not, but I'd ask. Like, that's the type of thing. You know what I mean, Jay?
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing. And Miller and Pettersson, by them coming out by Jim Rutherford, this has been going on for a while. It wasn't like breaking news. It's been heard that there's been a rift between Miller and Pettersson in Vancouver. So I'm sure one of the two would be available, right? Something like that. To back to your side, if you're Vancouver or a team that thinks they can in turn contend, who do you want on this roster? Who do you want? I mean, that's the question. Like
Rust, Raquel.
No, I'm not slighting that. I'm just saying there's Raquel and Rust. Then you go to the side of as soon as you do that, you better have some plan in place that's going to funnel into Crosby to have line mates, all those things that go with it. I think Raquel, Rust, all those guys are all certainly great players that are making things happen and have done it their whole career. But now, if you go after that, the pieces that you're probably talking about, Joe, are the ones that are signed here that they're like anchors on the team right now, right? You can't get rid of their contracts, all this stuff. And it is going to take something creative to move what's there. But I'm not sure some other teams don't want what maybe the Penguins want to part with.
I hear you.
That becomes
the problem. Then you have to say.
That's the thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I was just going to say that Raquel Rust, if you move them now you're going to bring somebody back, you just eliminated one part to bring back something else. You have to move. It does have to be something significant. And I do think they tried to piece together pieces for this roster and it hasn't panned out. You can hear Mike Sullivan's the frustration that they're not scoring 5-on-5. They can't get the second wave of goals 5-on-5. The power play, thank God the power play's been what it's been doing. But otherwise it's trouble. So they tried to piece it together. It hasn't been working and it's not what worked. It was the goaltending part. Then it becomes the secondary scoring. Then the PK starting to back up a little bit. All those things kind of come into play and put you in the position that you are. And I will say, the other part that I made a comment about players, I'm not saying that there's not players that are valuable. Marcus Pettersson probably could hop on any team and help them on the blue line. That's a given. I mean, in my opinion, I think that's a piece that's out there. There's young blue liners. The Penguins are developing. But I just think where it's at, the number that guys have on their contracts or what they still have left and who's going to want that and that no trade clause, that's all the stuff that comes into play that makes it very difficult for Kyle Dubas.
For sure.
He has to continue to build with the draft picks, and it's to the fan base, it's frustrating because, okay, you're building more draft picks. How long does it take those guys to develop? I mean, if you don't get a blue chipper there's not generational talents coming down the pipe. I haven't heard of any coming up. Not that there's not great players that are in the draft, but not a generational talent that's going to turn this all around.
Bob,
it's a tough spot.
Bob, we're down to 1 minute left in the period.
1 minute remaining in the period. All right, Jay. So we had this little debate about the Four Nations. It's coming up. They're going to shut down the game for two weeks. I'm not a big fan of this particular thing. Olympics are fine with me. This seems to be an exhibition that players want. I get why players want it, but who does it serve really, and how does it help your local hockey team?
Yeah, I will say number one, I think for the players to be able to compete against, and you're still not really getting all the best because you're missing Russia. You're missing, players.
Yeah, that was
like
my
that,
point. No Russians over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that part. But if you have a chance, Crosby's with McDavid, this is the one time they didn't get the Olympics. This might be the shot. I think that's who it's benefiting, the players like that. I think for people who are really into it and watch it, I think it's going to be great, great theater, great television. But I think on the flip side, for 2 weeks shutdown, a two-week shutdown. Those markets that are struggling anyway, what are they going to do after two? I think when they did the World Cup and you had it at the beginning of the season, and then you go from there, September, that's the way they I think is a better way. But to have it be like right now, a two-week shutdown, that's difficult. I think there's more of an impact negatively to the certain franchises. But for people to watch McDavid, McKinnon, Crosby play together, that to me is going to be outstanding. And how they go against the U.S., that's really just U.S. and Canada. People want to see that. That's yes. What we're all going to want to see. So I think there's a big plus for that. But I do think 2 week of a shutdown is a really strong thing that's going to impact markets that aren't that. I mean, they just went out west, and how many people are at the game in San Jose?
Yeah.
If it shuts down for 2 weeks, what are they going to do? So, but that's how I feel about it, Bob. I think it's going to be great theater, great for Sidney Crosby to see this, but I think it's a tough having 2 week shutdown.
Jay, you're a wonderful man.
Thank you,
we'll
Jay.
Talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Nice to talk to you,
all
too.
All right. Always a pleasure.
There he goes, Jay Caulfield.
Jay Caulfield.
Here's another little hypothetical, Bob. See, once you go to Carlson, I don't know, Rust, Letang, guys with these no-movement clauses, and you say, this didn't work, we're essentially waving the white flag on this season. Can we work with you to move on? Do you have interest in going and chasing a championship? Chris Letang. Montreal is right there this year.
They've made a comeback. Absolutely.
They're 2 points out. Could we interest you in you going back to your hometown? What if he says yes? I'm just saying, turn over every stone. And you know what? If he does say yes, you call the Canadiens, where Mike Matheson has become a guy who's being, you know, targeted by fans. And you say, we will take on Matheson. Only 1 year left on his deal, Bob. You say, great. We're going to give you Chris Letang, and may we interest you in a gently used Ryan Graves. We'll retain part of his salary. There go Graves and Letang. Here comes Mike Matheson, a guy who might make you worse.
You need more than that, though.
No.
Yes, you do.
No, the beauty here, Bob, is you unload all that money.
I get it.
You can't
but
ask
I still
for more.
Want some, if you're
you want
to,
them to do something more.
They have than draft you, picks. Than, I looked at what they have available. You can get some high draft not, picks from
there,
them.
There's other deals. You're telling me if I told you right now, Letang and Graves, you get rid of Graves the next 4 years and $20 million, I'm walking to Montreal.
Well, you're
going
to have to pay
deal.
Some of that. I get what you're saying, but what I'm also saying to you is, if I'm going to give you Chris Letang, who still can be a factor on a team like that that's close to the playoffs, I want some picks as well. To me, you got to get both.
You're not getting that. You get somebody to pick up a significant portion of Ryan Graves' contract.
You know,
are you kidding, Bob?
They got rid of contracts to get Erik Karlsson, and they brought on even more of a contract with him.
Yeah, he would be another one that I would go to. But I would start
with him.
Fine. And he had a very cryptic comment about the Sharks and their great young player, and we're going to listen to that next.
You're talking
talk about
Macklin Celebrini?
Yes.
That dude is going to be a stud.
The point is, with the Letang thing, you get rid of as much of Graves' contract as you can. You don't have to pay Letang. He probably wouldn't be happy with this situation here. And then you bring in Matheson, and you just have to – he makes you worse, which is good. And then you get rid of him after a year. So that would be huge. This team is saddled with aging players, depreciating assets, combined with albatross contracts. So if I'm Fenway Sports Group, I tell Kyle Dubas, get to work. Tear this thing down to the studs, or as close as you can get to it.
How about if they say no?
Right now.
How about if they say no?
Who?
Letang.
Well, then at least you asked.
And then what?
Then you got to keep him.
And then what?
Then you move on to Carlson. You move on to Carlson
anyway.
How
about if they all say, no, we're comfortable
then
here?
Then you just trade Pettersson, Raquel, and whoever else. The idea of keeping Raquel is lunacy at this point.
Well, and he's at a very good position to be traded for something in return.
He's at the highest market ability he'll ever have.
Actually, that's what the Pirates did originally with Adam Frazier. They trade him when he was at his best season, and they got something in return.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. Register today for AFSP's 30th overnight walk in New York City, June 21st, as we walk 16 miles from dusk till dawn to stop suicide. Start your journey today at theovernight.org.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, speaking of what the Penguins should do, and if it were me, I would tear it down to the studs. The time for a soft rebuild was years ago when Letang and Malkin and such had great marketability. And I don't blame them for keeping the band together. I don't. But you pay the price. You pay the fiddler eventually. And now this is a team that has unexpectedly, before schedule, hit rock bottom. And they're saddled with aging assets and albatross contracts all over the place. And Kyle Dubas needs to do anything and everything he can to try and extricate himself from as many of those as he can. And one would be Erik Karlsson. Erik, we're going to go full rebuild here, starting like now. We're not going to be winning. We're pretty much waving the white flag on this season and the next few. Do you want to stay? It's hard to imagine.
If he'd
be like, yeah, sign me up.
But if
that
he says
great,
yes,
then there's nothing
are you obligated
you can do.
To play him?
I don't know.
I mean, if you really want him to make him miserable so that he's not going to.
I guess.
So we're going to take a look at some of our young defensemen, which means your minutes are cut.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd hate to play that game with such elite players, but if you're
right about that. You play that game. But when it's presented like that, what kind of competitor, unless he's attached to a franchise the way Sid is, you know, and has a life and a home and a legacy here, would say, yeah, sign me up for that. Can't wait. Thanks for asking, though. I would imagine one or two of these guys, and I would imagine he'd be one, would say, yeah, you know, can we work out like specifically where I'd go? We can try. I'm glad to hear that. I'll get back to you. And then there's this, Bob. I don't know what to read into this. Somebody alerted me to it. And it's Karlsson after a game, I think the other night. Was it in San Jose? I don't know.
Yes.
You heard this?
I heard it.
You did?
I didn't draw too many conclusions of it. I don't know how he meant it, but
okay,
do we have it?
Yeah, let's hear it. This is through the Penguins website. We got this sound, I believe. Go ahead.
He's a good kid. You know, obviously I'm close with Jumbo and talk to him quite a bit, and you know, he lives with them. So I get a lot of updates from his three kids, and they're all doing well. And you know, I got to meet him yesterday. It seems like he's a sharp kid, and you know, very polite and friendly, which is you know, a good quality to have. And you know, maybe I'll get to see him more in the future. Who knows?
Talking about Macklin
Celebrini is an 18-year-old kid who has already got swagger in this league.
You don't hear something a little strange at the end of that, Bob? That didn't end in a strange way for you?
He just said that his roommate, the guy that he knows lives with, is, I don't know how he intended that.
No,
to come
not
out.
That part. The part where, who knows, maybe I'll see more of him again someday.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's hear that again. I want to hear the whole thing again. Pay close attention to the end. I thought it was an odd ending. Call me crazy.
He's a good kid. You know, obviously I'm, you know, close with Jumbo and talk to him quite a bit, and, you know, he lives with them. So I get a lot of updates from his three kids, and they're all doing well. And, you know, I got to meet him yesterday. It seems like he's a sharp kid, and, you know, very polite and friendly, which is, you know, a good quality to have. And, you know, maybe I'll get to see him more in the future. Who knows?
What was his facial demeanor like when he said that?
He had a little bit of a smirk on his face at the end of it. It was
a little bit of a smirk on his face.
You are drawing a lot of conclusions based on how a facial look, a gesticulation, along with a comment that he's made because the guy he knows is housing Macklin Celebrini. Well, so his kids, he talked, I mean, are you telling me that he wants to go back to San Jose?
I think he'd go back to San Jose in a second. I can't imagine he's enjoying himself here, and I think the Sharks might want him back to play with that kid. To have an offensive defenseman, a collaborator, an elite collaborator, at least on the offensive end, with that kid. I don't know. I'm not drawing any conclusions. I've drawn zero conclusion from it, but it certainly perked me up a little bit. Limits, especially when you tell me about the smirk.
Yeah, it
he smirked, Bob. It moved.
Caught my eye at the end. Okay. Now, I also am not drawing too many inferences from it where he's like saying, yes, this is the number one place that I would want to be if I want to trade, because it's been pretty clear that Erik Karlsson does not really want out. Why? I don't get it. Like, why would he not want to abandon ship? He has nothing here.
How did you draw that conclusion that it's been pretty clear that Karlsson doesn't want out? Who told you that, or where did you see that?
Well, I think just the way that he's gone about it over the last year, I'm not drawing on one specific comment in general, but that he likes Pittsburgh, he likes the Penguins, he doesn't really, you know, he likes playing with Crosby and Malkin. To me, that signals he's not going to waive his no trade, which I don't understand why.
See, I think if you presented him with the right opportunity, he would waive his no trade in a second. He has zero connection with the city. He's done no winning here. He's actually gotten criticized, and his game, although it's improved lately, has largely been awful since he's been here. Why would he want to stay? Doesn't he have connections in Ottawa, too? They're an improved team. I don't know any of this. All I'm saying is, so I'm Kyle Dubas, but starting with Fenway Sports Group, I'm ordering Dubas to turn every stone. And yeah, I'm sorry, but the end of that perked me up a little bit, especially the smirk.
Why would he want to stay?
Yeah, why would
Seriously,
he want to stay? Give me one reason why Erik
Karlsson
would want to stay.
San Jose, first of all, wanted to get rid of that contract, and they did. If you're going to play the game, or we'll take half of your salary, give the other half, play all that. Yeah, you're saving money, creating space, but you're getting it and get nothing to help you in return.
You speak of that like it's a small thing.
No, and I understand the need to sign free agents, and you can help, but you also need a lot of depth in your organization right now. They have none of it, it seems. There are not many players. The other thing you can do is buy out Tristan Jarry if you really want to, and it comes from a different vault of money that the Fenway Sports Group doesn't have to attach to your salary cap. So, you know, there are a lot of different ways to go. I just can't imagine he'd want to go back there. I just don't know why he'd want to go back, and I don't know why they'd want him. You say play with Macklin Celebrini. He has a lot of bad habits, does Karlsson.
He also would be a wonderful collaborator, I think. I don't know that they want him back, Bob, but it would be on a much lesser deal if he got the Penguins to retain salary. And if you told me right now I could unload Karlsson, Ryan Graves, and maybe even Jarry, for God's sakes, and I would have to retain salary, I would do it in a second. What's the smallest measurement of time on Earth? A nanosecond? Is there something smaller than a nanosecond?
It's smaller than a millisecond, right?
I mean, this Ryan Graves and Karlsson.
Those are all Dubas deals. Every single one of them.
Unbelievable.
And if he had not
albatross.
Made those and done other things, who knows where this could have been.
So extricate yourself by any means necessary would be my order from Fenway Sports Group to Kyle Dubas. First of all, what have you done? Do it better. Because one thing we're not going to pay is a new GM. We trusted you.
Well, he's got a lot of money coming to him, too. And that's another thing. They're not going to just walk away from that.
And now you get to do what you probably wanted to do anyway. You get to start from scratch. You're signed, you're sealed, you're delivered for multiple years. You go have fun, Kyle. Go crazy. Get rid of these contracts, first of all, by any means necessary. And, you know, there's a good chance that a guy like a Brian Rust, we forgot about him, might want to stay. But you have to offer, give him the chance, tell him what you're up to, and give him the chance. And then there's the biggest question of all, which is Sid. Sid obviously isn't going anywhere. I saw Taylor Haas had a nice conversation with him where he reiterated he doesn't want to go anywhere. He certainly, despite national, international rumors, if you include Canada, is not going anywhere this trade deadline. I would bet against him, Bob, going anywhere ever. But if after this year you have the same conversation with him, and I'm sure he doesn't need to have that conversation, it's obvious that they've sunk to bottom. And if they start trading people like his line mates, Does he feel differently then? Does he feel differently? Do you have a conversation, or does somebody have a conversation with him? Hey, Wayne Gretzky, Bobby Orr went to different teams. Maybe the greatest athlete who ever lived, Michael Jordan, went and finished his career elsewhere. You know, I don't think that harms your legacy. You could even come back here for a final year. Do you want to stay? And then obviously you honor whatever he says, you honor. But I just wonder if he's faced with that stark reality that's already becoming clear, if he would still want to. Do you wonder that?
I think he's going to be here no matter what. I trust him at his word. I've heard him before in different settings talk about it. He loves it here. But you're right. I mean, that's something that can change his opinion, especially if he's playing with a bunch of guys who aren't doing what he needs to do. Then it becomes a reflection of his game. But I just don't see that happening. I think there are other people on this team you can do that to. He's the one guy I wouldn't expect it.
And that's fine. In fact, it's great because you still have Sidney Crosby to usher in your next era. And I think both Sid and this fan base would be greatly energized by Sid and the kids, by that type of theme, a young, hungry pack of kids around.
But you
got to
get the kids. That's the problem right now.
Well, yeah, that's why we're talking about this.
But you seem to not be interested in picks.
You just want to get rid of money. No. We talked about one example,
okay,
and that was Ryan Graves. And if you could give me a team that would pick up Ryan Graves' contract, I would let that team inscribe their names on my Stanley Cup from the year I won it. Other teams, of course. That's why Raquel could net you a first-round pick. Why would you keep a 32-year-old winger right now except to say, hey, we got to keep Sid happy?
Yeah, because the way they're operating right now, Joe, they have the one line, Crosby, Raquel, and Rust, and they have nothing else. They're a bunch of, what would they call them, third or fourth lines. That's all they are. They don't have a legitimate second line based on how they've gone, and now with the injury to Malkin, who is on their second line. So they need a lot of help. There's no question. It's up to Dubas to figure out a game plan and then put it into play and see where it leaves you. But I do think if you do save some money, you could utilize that wisely in a free agent market. There are a lot of guys who could be available, younger guys you can get to bring in here, and then complement that with down the road some draft picks who are on the fast track. You got to have guys who are knocking on the door quickly.
I mean, Grover told me yesterday, Bob Grove, that they have 28 picks over the next 3 years.
How many in the top 50?
I don't know. He said they have a bunch of first, second, third round picks. Right. I would add to that treasure trove in a big way. That's why I'm talking about this mostly. But you also have to get rid of these contracts, one and the other. A guy like Raquel is a beautiful opportunity to bring in a first round pick. I think that's what he would net you. He's a top three forward on the market if he goes. What? You have no business in your current state keeping a soon-to-be 32-year-old winger at the very height of his marketability. What the hell are you doing? Why would you keep him?
He is one, and Jay brought up Marcus Pettersson. He won't give you a first-round pick, but you can get some assets for him.
Yes, you can.
Just because teams need players like that. So those are about the only two. Rust would do the same if he, again, he has to be agreeable to wherever you're going to do it. But if you can do that, sure, Sidney Crosby wouldn't be happy with losing two top line mates right now because, as I said, that's the only line that's doing much on this team.
Yeah.
You'd have to make sure that he's good with that, too. I think that's part of the conversation. But he can't dictate.
Then what if he's not good with it?
Well, then you got to tell him this is what we're doing, and you said you want to be here, but this is part of where we have to go because we're not winning with these guys.
Did Kyle Dubas in good faith try to make the Penguins a contender this season? I would argue yes.
Yes, I also think, though,
and he failed.
I don't know, going back to the Hextall days, I want to know whose decision it was to re-up these guys at the money they were getting, knowing that they were at the ends of careers.
It was obviously Fenway Sports Group.
Okay, if it's them, then, people heft a lot of blame on the Hextall.
And the great.
And well, that's, if that's not his decision, but they wanted it, then how do you blame a GM for doing it if they want it?
There's zero chance it was Ron Hextall's decision to re-up Malkin and Letang. Zero.
Okay, well then, so he comes in here knowing he's got this to deal with. Certainly did he try. He's made some, okay moves. He's made a lot of ones that didn't work out. Riley Smith comes to mind.
If you were Sid, and you signed this latest unbelievable hometown discount deal before this season, And you did it on the idea that you're going to still be living in this sort of dual world of rebuilding and competing, which I don't think you live in anyway, but that you'd at least try to compete. I would say that Kyle Dubas has tried to compete. He's tried to contend since he got here, even this year. He brought in veterans, you know. He tried to sign a goalie he thought was good to a giant contract, at least in term. He kept guys like Raquel around. So if I'm Sid, I'm saying, you know what? He did try. They have tried to do good by me, and look at where we are. We're 25 goals behind the Buffalo Sabres in goal differential. We're one of the worst teams
in the
league.
They're the worst team in the East, second worst in the league, I think, minus 40.
Yeah, to San Jose. So, I would hope that Sid would be able to see what has happened here and wouldn't blame them if they blew it up. How could you blame them at this point?
I don't know. I do know that they need to be more physical in their game too, though. They're too easy to play against.
Yeah, those kinds of conversations don't interest me anymore. What the Penguins are doing with their lines or how they're playing or
who's
playing goal tonight, it doesn't matter anymore.
The head coach has a lot to do with that.
I know. I don't care anymore, though. It's just conversations about, wow, how do you think the Penguins will play the Kraken?
Well, let me ask you this.
Game?
Why isn't someone like Rutger McGroarty not up here? If he's worth what they thought he was and he started the season up here.
Why start his clock now in this mess? Let him season for a little while.
Okay. He better be what they thought he was going to be, too.
Yeah, that's another trade.
So, they got a lot of problems. There's no question. And they need to move on from some of it. But the question is, how do you do it? And how do you lure a team in who's willing to take on salary and give you something in return that you need?
Right. Fenway Sports Group has this is a crossroads in franchise history. And one of the great ironies with them is when they came in here, they didn't want to be the big, bad, new corporate ownership group that alienated the fan base by getting rid of Malkin and Letang. No, we're going to be nice guys. We're not going to alienate anybody. And then who do they wind up alienating but the single greatest figure in the history of the franchise in Mario over what has been reported to be a paltry sum of money when we're talking about the world of professional sports. And they're going to wind up over that paltry sum of money, losing tens of millions of dollars as this team crumbles to the earth. Right?
Short-sightedness. Absolutely. And that's what happens now. And that's why they need some people to come in and invest so they could pay out some of the people they owe money to.
And it didn't sound from Jay, who knows Mario as well as anybody, like there's any kind of reconciliation in store here. And it's sickening to have the Penguins exist as a franchise with no Mario around. It's unnatural. Would you agree?
Yes. And it's just a bad look. I mean, there are certain people who identify with franchises. You don't even have to know their names. You see their face, you know what it means. And he was there. And they've messed that up. And it could be to a point where it's not something that can change. And I hope that is not the case, but I have a feeling it is for now.